Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Which is going to be moving along in the next couple of weeks. Of course, those of you who have been following the presidential debates and the presidential campaigns on both sides of the ticket are probably interested in any events that are coming up, rallies and more debates, and I have something to report, which is going to be taking place in area of Orlando, Florida. In fact, it'll be in Winter Park, Florida, on January 23rd. And I'm hearing some conversation going on in the control room, maybe going over the air. Can we make sure we got the mic turned off? Do we have an engineer there, Seth? Okay, sounds like the noise is down. Okay, I enjoy the conversation, but at the appropriate time. Anyway, on January 23rd, from 8:30 to 11:30 p.m., the group Soul Function and their leader, Fred Badali, who is a friend of mine back from my days in California on the music scene there, will be hosting a special event for Dr. Ron Paul. It's a rally, and they're going to try to get Dr. Paul to show up. The interesting thing about this is it's going to be music, and lots of music, as well as some conversation, some speeches, and discussion about Dr. Paul's candidacy. Now, this is going to be broadcast. If everything works out live, we'll be streaming this on bbsradio.com worldwide on our television streaming facility as well as on radio. So we're pretty excited about this. This will, to my knowledge, be the second such broadcast that we have. And in addition to that, after we return home with the goods, so to speak, we'll be doing a little bit of editing and putting all of this together on a DVD. So we're looking forward to that. It'll be about a three-hour DVD, and you'll have a lot of music. You'll get to see all the folks that show up for the rally and get to hear Fred speak. Fred is a staunch libertarian, and he's got some really interesting ideas himself, and we're looking forward to that event. I will be, in other words, broadcasting live from The Haven in Winter Park, Florida. And for those of you who are in the area on that evening or anywhere in the Orlando area on January 23rd, it's located in the Aloma Mall at 6700 Aloma Avenue, which is the corner of Forsyth and Aloma. And I'm told it faces Forsyth, so it's pretty easy to get there. If you want to make reservations ahead of time, the number there is area code 407-673-2712. Again, that number is 407-673-2712. There's going to be snacks and munchies provided. There is a $10 cover charge to attend the event. And They're talking about possibly turning it into a fundraiser. We're not sure yet if that's going to be the case, but basically it's going to give people who are supporting Ron Paul the chance to meet together, have a good time, and hear about Dr. Paul's candidacy. And that said, you'll be hearing more about that as the days go on. That said, I happened to watch part of the debate tonight, which took place in South Carolina, and as usual, Fox was at their best in trying to demean and slam Congressman Paul, insinuating that somehow he was not qualified to be President of the United States. Somehow he was even lesser qualified to represent the Republicans. Of course, that's if you're into the Nazi fascist style of government that they have been perpetrating on the people. And I'm rather outspoken about that. I have great reason to use the statement, use the words that I just used in describing our government. And I'm critical of the fact that we are going around the world bullying countries under the smokescreen of the war on terror and the war on drugs, when in reality we are perpetrating the terrorist acts upon other societies, other nations, and our government is the biggest drug dealer on the planet. And it's no small secret these days. It's becoming mainstream amongst the alternative media. And as usual, I'm disgusted with Fox, especially in how they handled the event. Miraculously, somehow, Fred Thompson was declared the winner by their in-studio planted audience. And the reasons these people give for a debate winner is beyond me. The logic, and I won't try to embarrass those people. I think they embarrass themselves enough in the eyes of those that can discern what they're about. But the fact that Fox goes out of its way to undermine the credibility of Dr. Paul or to try to make him look foolish is stupid. And they do it with their looks. They do it with their snide remarks. They do it with their planned, pre-planned programs to try to belittle him, to try to embarrass him, to try to capture him in some uncomfortable moment. And I would say that anyone that was there present that had 1% discernment would have been uncomfortable just being there with the low underhanded tactics they use. They're biased, they're prejudiced, they have obviously the agenda of the New World Order to promote, and that's all they do. And they rely on the amount of brainwashing that you've received up to this point in your lives, and they continue to try to perpetrate that policy upon society here in the United States. And we've got to wake up, and hopefully those of you who saw the debate saw the game that they were playing. I began listening to a couple of talk shows on the Patriot Network after the event, and other talk show hosts are equally disgusted and inflamed by what they saw. Now, we have great reason to feel that way, especially when the media, in particular the Boston Globe, reported John McCain the winner, even though someone who had been really monitoring the vote, I don't have the gentleman's name, but he already posted a video on YouTube. And if you go to my website, directlightproductions.com, go to my video page and go down toward the middle to the bottom section, you will see some Ron Paul vote fraud videos posted there. This gentleman actually shows you the actual printout of the vote count in New Hampshire. John McCain had zeros, ones, and twos for the votes cast, and yet he ended up with almost 88,000 votes. To the contrary, Ron Paul, who was getting anywhere from 2,500 to 3,000 votes per town, ended up with 8% of the vote. And it's disgusting, the corruption that went on there. And I presume that we had the same type of corruption go on in the state of Iowa, where they even exclude from the caucus there. So that said, we must be on our guard. The Diebold machines and those that run them and those that have hired those that run them are working overtime to tip this election corruptly in their favor. And we shouldn't allow it to happen. And that's my statement about that for tonight. We'll see how things are going to pan out. I understand that there may be some people already filing lawsuits about the corrupt elections that took place in those two states. Now, getting down to business for tonight, I thought it would be interesting to share something that I was actually just given. I had seen excerpts of this a while back, and one of my listeners, Diane in Washington, sent me a nice packet of information of some really interesting history. And there's a piece that appeared, I'm going to guess that it was a number of years ago. I can't tell you exactly when, but it came out of the Leading Edge Research Group in Yelm, Washington. And this was number 92, the issue 92 of the Leading Edge. And this is entitled, Our Moon's Forbidden History. We live in interesting times. We all share a common interest in our countries and our world. We show a temporary interest in space and unseen information and discoveries are shared. Then that interest is incorporated into day-to-day survival. I would like to share with you information regarding the moon and our solar system. This information was shared with me by Andromedan cosmonauts. Now, keep in mind, folks, I'm reading Alex Collier. These are not my statements. But I find them very interesting, and I'm going to expound on them in a bit. It is my hope that I can only add to the information and hidden revelations. As I have been reminded by my friends from Andromeda, we all have a piece of the puzzle. I offer this perspective as a piece of that puzzle. It is not my wish to detract or prove anyone incorrect. I myself have taken this information with the understanding that it is just a small part of a large drama playing itself out in our backyard and on our home, Earth. This information was given over a period of contacts, both physical and telepathic. The following is the Andromedan perspective of our moon. Our moon has an atmosphere comparable in many places to that of the Earth. In many of the large craters on the visible and the hidden side, the atmosphere is said to be denser than sea level on Earth. Our moon has a small egress at its north pole, and the crust is thinly shelled in places. It is only 21 miles thick in some places and 35 miles in others. We've been told that our moon is dry, a million times drier than the Gobi Desert. According to the Andromedans, it all depends on where you are. They say the hidden side has many underground lakes, huge in size. The irrigation and terraforming is occurring on the side, or I should say on the hidden side of the surface, the hidden side on the surface, but is occurring underground on the visible to hide the agenda. Apollo 15 discovered and took pictures of water vapor clouds that appeared from the hidden side. This would be most odd and unusual if the moon really didn't have much of an atmosphere, as we've been told, because clouds would be impossible. The age of the moon soil is 9.2 billion years old and has compound and chemicals not found on Earth. In fact, there are many chemical compounds that were discovered but withheld from the public. There are many more we've yet to discover because our science is not advanced enough yet. The lunar soil did not come from the rock that makes up its mountains and craters. This is known to some lunar scientists. However, it's not spoken about, but in whispers. So, where did the soil come from? The Andromedans say the soil and many of the rocks come from Ursa Minor. The location is a solar system named in the Orion tongue, Chauta. This is a binary sun system. We have many similarities in our system as well. Chauta is a very large system holding 21 planets and 47 moons. Our moon is said to have been made around the 17th planet in this system. Portions of the moon crust are radioactive. Apollo 15 discovered this, especially near the Apennine Mountains. Why were the readings so hot? The Andromedans have said it's because some nuclear waste was brought up there to be reused as a fuel supply for the spacecraft that the world government has built. However, many of the ships that use nuclear fuel are obsolete now. So how was the moon brought here? It was, I'm told by the Andromedans, put into the tail of an asteroid, which brought it into our solar system. The same asteroid circles our part of the galaxy. Now, this occurs every 25,156 years. Andromedans have said that our moon has been inhabited periodically in its history for 1.8 million Earth years. The moon is hollow. It contains huge underground facilities built by ETs and later humans from Earth. Now, what's interesting about that, I'm going to comment for a moment. Some of the astronauts described ejecting the lunar launcher. I forget the what the actual name is. It was part of the landing pod that they ejected when they launched themselves to go back up and meet with the main craft before returning to Earth. And when that component struck the moon vibrated for 8 minutes. It made a ringing sound, much like a bell or a cymbal would, or a gong. And so this is actually corroborating the same effect. There are 7 openings into the moon's crust and the underground bases. Conservative scientists have wondered why so many craters seem so shallow despite their size. The Andromedans say it's because much of the surface was built on top of a metallic shelf of circular space crust, or a war carrier, as the Andromedans describe it. An example of a shallow but large crater would be the crater Gagarin. This crater is roughly 185 miles across, but is only 4.5 to 5 miles deep. Based on the impact and size across the craters, on the surface, the depth should be 4 to 6 times that deep. In fact, all the craters are the same. They are too shallow. They defy known science. Many of the craters have been artificially created. The Andromedans have said that many of the craters on the far side were in fact domed cities at one time, and that they were destroyed during a war that goes back 113,000 years. Many were used as dome cities, and other large craters were used as spacecraft hangars capable of housing 200 craft. The surface bases consisted of 9 dome cities, which would be equal to a small city. Small lakes or ponds were scattered along the surface. The remains of these dome structures were discovered by NSA, NASA astronauts, Russian astronauts, and the NASA Apollo astronauts. So maybe it's NSA astronauts. The true military complex of the moon is now underground. Entrances to this alien and human base is at both poles. Again, entrances to this alien and human base is at both poles, the Taurus Mountains, Jules Verne Crater on the far side, and Archimedes. These are the original entrances. The black government has created more openings and is currently expanding the underground complex. The expansion is for the operation of private scientific and military agendas for the world order. Andromedans also state that it was a military outpost until it was needed in our part of the galaxy to end a rebellion that was taking place. The personnel consisted of reptilian, half-human, half-reptilian, and those who would be known as humans. Sounds like the stories that we hear today about our own planet. Many of the original structures on the surface of the moon were destroyed during what the Andromedans refer to as the Black League conflict. This was a battle fought by humans of different systems that formed a secret alliance and fought the tyranny of the Orion Empire. Again, that sounds like what's occurring today around this planet. Continuous destruction occurred on one side of the moon as it was being transported here by space debris. The side that suffered the heaviest destruction is the visible side we see. The destruction was caused by particle beam weapons when our moon was located in the orbit of Maldek, now a destroyed planet. Our present moon was one of two moons that orbited it. The second moon, I'm told, is the moon Phobos. It also has ruins on it, and does as does Venus, which was a moon of Uranus. Uranus is abundant with plant and mammal life. The glass that is abundantly spread over the moon's surface came from the dome cities that were once on this war carrier. I would like at this point to explain how the moon is supposed to have gravity. Now, this is Andromedan science, and it flies in the face of our own science. But regardless, here is the Andromedan reasons for the moon having gravity. Our sun produces a highly penetrating radiation in the electromagnetic spectrum. This frequency is approximately a trillion cycles a second. This frequency is located between the lower portion of the infrared and radar band. It is this radiation from the sun that causes gravity, not the planet's rotation. I will explain more of this when we address the hollow Earth. Oh my goodness, now we have a hollow Earth as well. The Andromedan science claims, and I'm flipping my pages here. Give me a moment. All of a sudden I have a page missing. Okay. Well, wouldn't you know it would work out that way. Okay, here we go. That any planetary body that is 29.3 miles in size and is exposed to a sun is capable of a gravity field, even if it is not rotating on its axis. The Andromedans have related the following series of events to me. They have said that this information has been recorded. I have not seen this yet, so I'm relaying this information to you, the reader, in faith of its accuracy. Upon arriving on the surface of the moon, the NSA astronauts, together with their tour guides, the Greys, were taken to the underground facilities where the remains and skeletons of reptilian-like beings and human beings were found. Also, old Orion technology was discovered. That location has been identified by the Andromedans as underneath the crater named Jules Verne. The Andromedans say the size of this facility hidden underneath the hidden side of the moon is approximately the size of New York State. These huge underground facilities contain large lakes, plant life of Earth, alien form manufacturing machinery, food storage facilities, and spacecraft hangars. Also, alien writing is to be witnessed on the walls in the hallways. The NSA astronauts also were shown 8 vaults that were sealed, but information regarding their contents has not been disclosed to me. Artificial Terra environments are being created all the time to house and support handpicked personnel by the world government. The human leader of this base or facility is called Mr. Secretary. The moon now houses approximately 36,719 human beings from Earth, a small colony, only Aryans by birth. Now, as history tells us, the Aryans were the Germans, and what's interesting is there is a lot of speculation, a lot of actually reporting, first-hand reporting and accounts that the Germans did have the ability to fly to the moon, and that was suppressed from us during World War II and afterwards when their scientists came here to the United States. According to the work that is being done above and underground to expand the facilities, the Andromedan foresee a population of 600,000 in the very near future. Much contact is taking place on the moon between regressive aliens and world order humans. Currently, the world order has 53 Earth-built UFO-type spacecraft on the moon. Also, other weapons being built on the moon are particle beam weapons, lasers, nuclear bomb satellites, and antimatter weapon systems. Anti-gravity anomalies on Earth were used to send equipment and hardware to the moon. Pine Gap, Australia, and Diego Garcia Island in the Indian Ocean were the primary launching areas. Also, Siberia in Russia is another location. Now, I have to digress for a moment and agree with this, that what I know and what other researchers know is that Pine Gap is such a facility in Australia. It's in the middle of nowhere, and the people there know, and I'm speaking of the Australians in that live in that area, know that there's something very secretive going on there. Wouldn't surprise me about Diego Garcia Island as well. And Siberia has been known throughout history to have space-related activity. There is an atmosphere on the far side of the moon being created on the surface for extended habitation. There is also water, lakes, and vegetation. They are literally turning it into a habitable colony. From there, the world government decided to go to Mars in March of 1959. Now, as a psychic, I perceived that they had people living up there since 1962, and more information has come out recently in a video presentation, an interview with David Wilcock, Bill Ryan, and Kerry Cassidy, who have both been on Evident Footprints in the past, not with BBS, but prior to my joining the network. And we spoke about Mars, and I flat out told Bill Ryan when he asked me what my take was that in my astral travels there, I witnessed plant life, animal life, and could see that there had been civilizations there, as well as a general sense that there was acting on there, most likely underground. And that is on tape, that is recorded. In fact, I hope to have it in my archives soon on my website. So my statement precedes my reading this to you. I don't recall having read this, but what's interesting is David Wilcock, who is supposed to be the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, is flat out stating and quoting some other researchers that this indeed is true. Nikola Tesla talked about the fact that there was most likely life on Mars and that there was some activity, as well as Billy Meyer, who reports and has taken pictures of American craft that are, let's say, parked in space in the near atmosphere of Mars. So this information sounds highly plausible. This ultra-secret space program was developed and launched largely from the Soviet Union simply because of its natural resources and size. They could virtually do everything in secret. Upon first arriving on the moon, the World Order astronauts, with help from the Greys, reopened the ancient underground facility. Notice they say underground facility. We've had a working colony on the moon since 1961, according to the Andromedans. So I was off by about a year. But I would stand by that, and I would say, again, this seems very plausible. Even though they put out this, for public consumption, this promotional idea that we need to go back to the moon, and then we need to investigate and explore Mars. They've been doing it, and they've been stealing the money from the Treasury and most of our government programs without our approval, without our knowledge, and we must either put a stop to it or bring it to full disclosure. When the Apollo astronauts landed on the moon, the world order had been there for some time. This knowledge and technology was withheld from the lower levels of NASA and our military. NASA has been used as a blind to keep the people from truly knowing what was going on out there. The astronauts were silenced under threats, and they remain so today. Still reading, I would like at this point to share some old history or events that the Andromedans say is important. I have not been able to find any information about these events. However, because the Andromedans specifically brought it up, I'm going to share it. In 1953, Earth satellites and radar showed large objects coming towards Earth. These were gray motherships. These time-traveling spacecraft were the same craft seen near Venus in 1787, 1788, and 1789. In the year 1645, a large moon seen near Venus was seen coming and going four times. This was a mothership from Sirius B. In November of 1844, the large craft seen illuminating part of Mars was an Orion mothership. The same craft illuminated Mercury in 1799. The same craft, which is spherical, crossed the Sun on March 26, 1859. On the eclipse of July 29, 1878, the two large glowing bodies seen between Mercury and Venus were Pleiadian and Andromedan motherships moving through our part of the galaxy. In 1783 and 1787, the large bright lights that were seen on the moon were not volcanoes. They were Pleiadian motherships, the creation of a self-rule government. The first on Earth, America. In the month of February, in the year 1894, the object photographed striking a huge black object was a carrier craft from Alpha Draconis. On April 4, 1892, the craft that crossed the surface of the moon was not a large bird. It was a craft that looked like it had wings. It was a craft from Alpha Draconis. The same ship was last in the solar system on January 27, 1912. Ladies and gentlemen, this time in which we now live is and will be known in our future as the end of the innocents. We, as a planetary race, must commit ourselves to the idea that truth must survive. We have major challenges to face, and whatever is the truth, we must do all that is necessary to stick together. We have been torn and tattered, and we have been betrayed. But please, let's not give up on each other. We are capable of being heroes. We can save the world and our freedom. We must believe in each other and in ourselves. I love you. Be at one. Alex. Now, I find this to be extremely interesting information. And through my own research, I have to support this. We have something that has been found recently on our planet, which is an anomaly. And it's been seen in Greenland. It is something which looks either like it's part of a craft or part of maybe a space station that was fired upon. There is a mark on it. It's at one end. And this object is seen on Google Earth. In fact, the object is almost 50 miles long. It's 49.2 miles long, 11 miles wide. It is partially wedged in the snow and ice in Greenland. It's seen from space, it's seen from the air, and you can see it from Google Earth. Anyone who would like to go to Google Earth and just look around Greenland, you will see what appears to be, at first glance, somewhat of a yellowish, almost orange object. And soon I'm going to have that object posted on my website, and I'm going to send a picture. Actually, I did send a picture to Don Newsom at BBS Radio, hoping that he might post it somewhere. Hint, hint. And it's pretty breathtaking to see this thing. People who know, pilots, let's say, who have flown either in spacecraft or flown fighter jets, bombers, have seen this object, and they're just in awe of its size. They agree that the marks, the dark marks on it, look like it was shot with a laser or some kind of particle beam weapon that disabled it, knocked it out of the sky possibly, or out of space, and caused it to fall to the earth. How long ago that occurred is difficult to tell. One doesn't know if it's just wedged in some fresh fallen snow or if it's thawing out. Supposedly, in the vicinity of this nearly 50-mile long, 11-mile wide piece of metal, which may be a whole craft buried in the snow and the ice, the ice and snow itself seems to be melting. Whether that's caused by the craft or it's just caused by rising temperatures in that area is unknown, but it is very interesting and really mind-blowing to see this thing on a satellite photo or a Google Earth picture, which is basically taken from space, and even when you enlarge the photo, it's hard to imagine that this is that large. However, I have that Google Videos altimeter measurements and the readings that you get from elevation are quite accurate. Anyway, I hope to have that pick my website, and possibly Don or Seth will be posting that somewhere on the BBS site. It's worth seeing. Now, why don't we hear about these things? Well, do we have the capacity to manufacture craft that are 50 miles long? I seriously doubt that we do have that technology, at least here on Earth. I think it would be a very difficult project, although it's possibly quite feasible in a zero-gravity environment or on another planet with lesser gravity. Let's say on some place like the moon, for example, this might be exactly what's being constructed up there. Why should it be kept from the public? Well, we might figure out what's going on in this planet. It would be a good answer. We might be able to figure out what's going on in the rest of the universe. To think or to consider or to accept or presume that we are the only living species in the universe is absolutely absurd. Absolutely. And we are that there's a handful of planets in our solar system, and it's probably more likely that we have upwards of a trillion planets in our solar system or in our galaxy. And consider how many planets that would be. Consider how many moons there would be. Consider how many different life forms there would be. Now, not all life forms are going to be friendly. And for us to say that we're a friendly life form to come here and show up and make themselves known, would we consider ourselves to be civilized people, the way we murder each other and the way we're at war with each other? I think not. And if people from another planet are able to come to this planet, and there seems to be plenty of evidence that not only has this happened in the past, but it's going on right now, what do they think of us? How do they see us? Are we ready for their society? Most likely not. Because every time any society from outside of this realm has come here and tried to communicate with our governments seeking technology and not getting it because of our lower tendencies, our animalistic tendencies to murder each other for profit or just for the sake of killing, are not ready to be taken into such a society. And that is quite an embarrassment to those people, that number one, they control us, but number two, we're not advanced enough as a society, including the government that thinks that they're above us. I would say to you that those of us that tell the truth and are truth seekers and light bearers have a responsibility to keep telling the truth and to awaken others to that reality. Quite the opposite of what those who would control us and hide from us and lie to us about what they've done, what they're doing, and what they plan to do. That's the reality of this planet. Alex Jones calls it a prison planet, and many esoteric writings have called this place a prison planet, and that's what it is. What do you call a country that has built over 800 concentration camps? For the future, what do you call that? Is that for the terrorists? I think not, unless the terrorists are the illegal aliens that they're allowing into the country, taking all our jobs, eating up our social security, our health care, our educational system, creating crime all over the place. In reality, what they're doing is letting the criminals out of these countries. The crime rate in Los Angeles is anywhere from 95% to 97% caused by illegal aliens. The insurance scams that are taking place with the bogus traffic accidents and the assaults that are taking place on men, women, and children and the elderly. The robberies that are taking place, the fires that are being set. These people are coming here destroying our country, and it's permitted by our politicians, who say we have to give them driver's licenses. Why? So they can freely roam the whole country, wreaking the same havoc? Now, when you take into consideration the story that I read to you just now, this information that I shared from Alex Collier, and whether you believe in aliens or not, this information came from somewhere, and what's interesting is he was told this, and there are others of us who have seen this or know about this from somewhere, some part of our own experience, some part of our own reality. There are those who have been part of the space program who have alluded to having seen ships on the moon when they landed. That's if they landed. We've seen the videos of the lights falling and crashing into the set when the astronauts were practicing the small step for man, one giant leap for mankind speech. And they had to do the whole thing over. I mean, it's hilarious to see that. We do know that there are ways to move out into space, but the way we're told it's being done is a cover story. We know more about wormholes. We know about what they like to call stargates, which are nothing more than dimensional portals that allow us to move through time. Anything is possible in this universe. In fact, it's possible to overcome war and have peace. Unfortunately, though, the greedy ones that want everything for themselves and want to rule everyone as dictators are not satisfied with owning everything. They're not satisfied with killing everyone or causing everyone to become sick. and the secret programs of biological weapons, the poisoning of our foods, the modification of foods, the sadistic, where they're mixing plant and human DNA, or plant and animal DNA to grow new species, is sick. Why they can't honor and respect nature the way God created it is beyond me. Other than they have to be so power hungry and so evil that they have to do everything contrary to God. They have to be the dichotomy of the Creator and try to drag us all down to that level. Well, as we're awakening, and granted, we have trouble just discerning whether an election is honest or not, whether it's fixed. I mean, those of us who are discerning know, deep down inside, we don't need to even think about it for a moment. When you see a candidate like Ron Paul get thousands of votes in each town, and then he's told that he has, or we are told that he's gotten 8% of the vote, and someone who's registered zero votes in many, many towns is given the win in the state, something is wrong. And I mentioned that briefly at the beginning of the show. The Boston Globe, by the way, in another video, changes the outcome of the election the next day. I urge you to go and look at some of the videos that are exposing the corruption that we have right now. While everyone is in this fever pitch of a presidential campaign, look at the corruption and ask yourself if you want to be a part of a government, or you want to have a government that is corrupt. They're corrupt in how they elect themselves. They are corrupt in how they make the laws. They're corrupt in what they try to do to us, to silence us, to stop us from our God-given sovereign rights. Meanwhile, they steal our money, then they present to us a public relations package of space exploration. I once shared a story with you, and I'd like to share it before the show ends. I knew the man who was running the SETI program at JPL in California, and I called him up after an interview that he had given to, I believe it was the Daily News. It was the second newspaper in the San Fernando Valley, which is the area to the north and west of Los Angeles County, and or it contained part of Los Angeles County, but it was north of the city and west of the city. Pretty expansive area. You had towns like North Hollywood, Universal City, Studio City, Sherman Oaks, Van Nuys, Thousand Oaks, Agoura Hills, Canoga Park, Reseda, very, very populous area. And JPL was in Pasadena, which is actually the San Gabriel Valley, just a little bit east of that area. But that newspaper spanned that whole section of Southern California, so they had a very large readership, nearly as large as the LA Times, I would say. And it was quite a popular paper because they had color pictures and they had some interesting, unique stories. Now, they ended up going out of business, and I would suspect that they'd either been bought up or just suppressed to the point where they just gave up. But they had this story about SETI. And I read the story, and I compared it to what I knew, what documents I had seen, and the research I had done on this whole issue of UFOs and extraterrestrials and underground bases, gray aliens, reptilians, draconians, the tall grays, the Nordics. You know, we knew and had heard about all of these different species that had come to our planet. Some were friendly, some were not so friendly. Some had been here, we were told, for thousands and thousands of years, living underground, living in secret places. And here we had this story about the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. Now, there's a bit of irony in that, because the very people doing the research were lying to us, and then it makes you wonder how intelligent we are, that we buy a hook, line, and sinker what they feed us. But I read this article, and I believe the gentleman's name was Michael Klein, and I had actually called him, and I said, you know, I've been sitting on information for some 25 years or so about spacecraft that are seen all over the planet, and people being abducted, underground bases, all kinds of suppressed advanced technology. And we know much of that technology today. We know much of it came from Nikola Tesla, not exclusively, but most of it came from him, and it was suppressed. And it was sold to the Nazis in pre-World War II Germany and during World War II. And it's known that the Nazis had developed many flying saucers. Where did they get this technology from? Who gave it to them? And Michael Klein was saying, yes, we put together a record and we have Michael Jackson music on it, and we have the Beatles, and they're naming all these different people that they selected would be the people or the art forms and the information that we would want to share with species from other planets. What was interesting to me is all of the groups, all of the artists, all of the things they picked were part of the New World Order plan. All the groups that they used to brainwash people and mind control them were in there. And if you have any doubts about it, how is it that Michael Jackson can have multiple pedophilia charges up against him and get off scot-free? Well, they had to protect him. They had to guarantee that he would live to see another day so that they could keep manipulating the public through him. Although they may have lost out on that one, because he hasn't done anything with music since fleeing to the Middle East. So I said to Michael Klein, I said, you know, there's an overwhelming amount of information and data that contradicts what you're saying. You're saying, well, if there's life out there, you know, we will do our best to find it, and when we find it, we want to make contact with these people and tell them we're friendly. Well, that was all lies, because every time a benevolent society came here to this planet via space, we either tried to kill them or we did kill them. We shot their craft out of the skies, imprisoned some of them, tortured them until they died. And it's been hidden from us. Well, Michael Klein said to me, well, you know, Don, what I should do is I should send you a star map and send you a brochure on the SETI program so you understand what it's really about. Can I do that? And I said, sure, go ahead. And I gave him my address. And I waited and waited and waited, weeks and weeks and weeks. And finally, one day, I get a piece of mail. It's in a standard envelope, sort of like a legal size envelope. And I laughed. I looked at the return address. And he's telling me he never heard of EBs or ETs, he never heard that term before. And on the return address was, I don't remember the whole address, but it came from Washington, D.C. And it had the street number, and it had a suite number. And then it said Office of EBE on it, meaning Extraterrestrial Biological Entity. And I cracked up, and I said, what a liar. So at the time that I had given him my name and my address to have him send me this stuff, which really I didn't need to see, I ended up on a list, and I get this information from Washington, D.C. get this really colorful little star map, and it's showing me where the planets are. And I just had to chuckle, and I said, is this guy really expect me to believe that this is what's really going on? Or is he that brainwashed himself that he believes it? Of course, that was the first and only contact I had with that gentleman, and I don't think he lasted too much longer with the program itself. But to see the wasted spending that we witness in the cover-up of this, instead of just flat-out telling us, look, we made a mistake years ago, we thought we were dealing with the right people, but we made some miscalculations, we erred gravely, and they have the intention to take over the planet. Now, this is a big stretch for a lot of people because they haven't seen aliens or they haven't seen spacecraft. But what do you say to the people who have seen them? What do you say to the people who have been abducted? And not just by aliens, but also by black ops or psyops programs that are working in conjunction with the aliens, taking them to underground bases, taking them through these tunnel systems that connect cities throughout the world, not just in the United States, with electromagnetic trains that travel at Mach 3 that can travel the whole country in less than an hour. What do you say to those people that have seen that? Do you call them all crazy? I mean, okay, we've seen aliens, we've seen spacecraft, we're crazy. We're voting for Ron Paul, we're crazy. We use the internet, we're crazy, we're wackos, we're conspiracy theorists. This is beyond all that, folks, and it's the reality. And I've been talking this week about brainwashing and how they control us, and this is the culmination of what's going on, and now we have to somehow come to some sense of reality and decide, are we going to believe this or are we going to know that this is going on? And if we know it's going on, then we're being lied to. We're being lied to about a lot of things. So why not this? In fact, if you consider that this may have everything to do with the world's problems right now, it makes a whole lot of sense. It's difficult to convince someone who's an alien or a visitor, as some people call them, it's difficult to convince them that these people exist. What are we doing putting all these probes out into space? Why are we doing that? Why are we wasting the money? If we haven't found anyone, if we have the radio telescopes, if we sent the satellite out there with the Michael Jackson record, then why shouldn't that suffice until we get an answer? Well, the thing is, we've gotten the answer. Hundreds of times, if not thousands of times. It's just being suppressed from us. It's the same as when they say if they do away with the illegal drug industry, the economies of the world will collapse. Seems to me that you could turn that into Barbie dolls and create the same kind of addiction and get everybody off drugs. What's the difference? You turn the economy into Barbie dolls. Or Monopoly games. Nope, they've got to mind control. They've got to cause illness. They've got to be able to put people in jail. How are they going to put you in jail for having a Barbie doll? Well, I guess if you had sex with the Barbie doll, then they could put you in jail. It's everything is designed on this planet to imprison people, to control people, to stop us from knowing who we are and knowing the ultimate truths about the creation. And we're moving through a time right now, in real time, where we are waking up and we are becoming conscious as a people. Some of us are more awake and more conscious than others. That's not meant to be a negative. That's just the reality. Just like some people sleep at night and some people are awake. Some people need a lot of sleep every night, and some people only need a couple of hours. That doesn't mean one person is lesser than the other. It's just the way the reality is. And some people are conscious of what's going on, and some people are totally unconscious. Some people are creative, and other people live off of their creations. Some people are producers, and other people are consumers of that production. We have these dichotomies for a reason. But one thing, when we have an imbalance of the dark side, when we have an imbalance of evil, when we have an imbalance of lies over truth, something is terribly wrong. And it's time for you to start taking a stand and waking up. If you know something is wrong, admit it. Admit it to yourself so you're not in denial about it. The next time you look at the moon, folks, can talk about tonight, ask yourself why they never really show us pictures of the moon. I'll tell you why, and I mean close-ups, because we would see that all this is true. There are probably some 20 bases on the moon right now. And I would say that there are several international bases, U.S., Russian, Chinese, German, whatever countries are involved in the space program. And there are more countries than I just named that are involved. So there's a strong likelihood. Everything that we are doing out in space has everything to do with what's going on in the Earth. We know so little about our planet as it is. I mean, there are people that don't even know the town next to the one they've been living in their whole life, let alone do they know the greater secrets of this planet. Unfortunately, we're out of time, folks. I hope you enjoyed tonight's show. Tomorrow night, my weekly guest will be on, Mr. Jim Murray, scientist, inventor, author, teacher, lecturer, and visionary for the future. And we are going to continue our discussion of hidden technologies. And we may incorporate some of this into the discussion. I want to thank you for being on Evident Footprints with me. I'm Don Nikoloff, your host, and I'll be back tomorrow night. In the meantime, peace, love, and light. Good night.